Hi folks, and welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. And today on the show, for the first time as a guest, I have Jamie Walden in the USA. Colorado, is it, Jamie?
That's correct.
So, yes, it's good to be talking to you, and I'm sure this is going to be a very interesting and fascinating discussion. So, welcome, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you, Tony, and obviously everybody down in New Zealand and to your broader international community. You know, there's so many things going on right now in real time, and it's definitely as if a lot of the, you know, biblical prophetic fulfillment is reaching its convergence zenith right now in real time. So there's always so much to talk about all the time, and it's almost hard to keep up with the current events and the you know, emerging traumas and dramas of the day, but we'll do our best to capture it and cover as much as we can in a way that edifies everyone.
Yeah, that sounds good. And off air, I was telling you how at the moment we're under a state of emergency here in New Zealand with Cyclone Gabrielle, basically hitting the country. Well, it hit it real hard last night. And flooding and high winds, and man, it's been hairy, I tell you. Last night, my sleep was extremely broken, but at least I'm in a house that's dry and we haven't got flooding, and I haven't seen anything knocked over here. Not the same for many people around New Zealand at the moment. Today, you know, it's only a few hours into daylight now, 9 o'clock in the morning here. And so the destruction is being, you know, viewed for the first time, people trapped and flooding everywhere and different things. And I noticed, I had a look at a news article this morning, and I said to you off air, the first thing I saw was a headline about, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact words, but is the cyclone making you start to believe in climate change or something like that? And I thought, how very interesting, because it's exactly playing into the narrative. But before we get into all of that, and then Jamie, maybe you could give our listeners who don't know you a bit of an introduction.
Yeah, sure thing. So obviously my name is Jamie Walden. I currently live in Colorado, close to central of the United States. And I have a varied background. I come from a sergeant in the Marine Corps Infantry, went to college, got a degree in history and law enforcement and justice administration, and worked with the U.S. Marshals Office for a little while. I was a police officer for a bit, switched over and got my paramedic and was doing tactical EMS work, and then ended up being a firefighter on a technical rescue team and a paramedic and doing tactical EMS work for a while. And that's kind of where I got into doing international disaster relief and whatnot. And somewhere in the middle of all that and deploying nationally, and went back to Iraq and embedded with the Peshmerga to fight against ISIS in 2014, and a couple other different life experiences. My wife and I and our three kids liquidated our reality and followed the Lord's leading to be missionaries in the Dominican Republic. So we moved to the Dominican Republic, where we were missionaries for a couple years, had a couple different positions, one of which was helping with counter human sex trafficking down there. The Caribbean islands are kind of a hotbed for the consolidation of the global child sex trafficking rings, and then on to Ukraine, if anybody wonders what Ukraine's ultimately about, on a couple different layers, and then out there from the rest of the world. And so it was on coming back from the mission field that I was burdened to write the book by the Holy Spirit, Omega Dynamics, Equipping a Warrior Class of Christians for the Days Ahead. And so that kind of birthed this ministry and this desire to just fire hose everybody with the reality of what's going on. Currently in the middle of a project for was a network TV show doing expeditions globally, looking at antediluvian pre-flood archaeology and really ultimately countering the narrative of the ancient alien panspermia type of narrative, which is sowing the seeds for the great deception. And so that's kind of like one of the main focuses right now, is really communicating the depths of the stuff that being a researcher and being a boots on the ground investigator for that type of reality, how the pre-flood narrative, the antediluvian narrative, is coming around full circle as a part of a greater overarching great deception that we see throughout multiple books of the Bible and scriptures all culminating and what's going on in real time. So even as you were saying about the, you know, the news article for you guys down there in New Zealand, specifically trying to ingrain the greater narrative of this global warming fiasco, even the global warming fiasco is rooted in an aspect, a sower of seeds for what is going to be the great deception. And, you know, even with things that are going on in CONUS right now in the continental United States, with these shoot downs of multiple different quote unquote high altitude unidentified objects. And we just had today a U.S. Air Force general come out and say that we're not going to rule out the possibility for extraterrestrial technology to be responsible for these things. It is actually all culminating into what is going to be the great deception. So there's all these different layers that are being put in place strategically to get to that level. One of which is global warming, which we already covered. Also the soft disclosure of alien technology, and even up to and including what is the imminent breakout of World War III. It must happen in order to sow the seeds with a collective conscious traumatic experience, a global trauma-based mind control experiment with World War III and a limited nuclear exchange between superpowers in order to roll out, quote unquote, those guys, the godmen, the men of old, the men of renown, coming back to restore, quote unquote, peace and security on the earth. So anyways, I know that's a long intro, but that's the reality of how everything is layered and interconnected going on right now in real time to get us to where they're desiring to take us.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned about potentially World War III, because I saw this morning an, on Fox News website where they're so Americans are saying Americans should leave Russia immediately, basically. So they're definitely ramping that up. But I'm on this other whole thing. The Bible tells us that in the end days we'll see signs in the heavens. And so let's jump right into this. Do you believe that the earth is soon to be facing some sort of cosmic event on an unprecedented scale?
Yeah, I do unequivocally. And actually all the data points, right, the objective kind of empirical data points that we can pull together, if we only are operating from a biblical worldview, which is the only real worldview I'll ever operate off of, is a biblical worldview, it's actually all in alignment with what we have already been told by Christ, which is Spirit of Christ, is prophecy in the scriptures regarding an imminent astral catastrophism, a celestial body coming and doing business with the earth in a way that we haven't seen since ultimately Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, we have pre-flood evidence of that with the Younger Dryas incident and different astral catastrophism events throughout, you know, classical history. But we also have recent history with anything from Sodom and Gomorrah to the Tunguska, I can't even hardly say it right, in this Siberian areas of Russia with a huge meteorite impact. And when you look at the scriptures from the trumpets and the bowls and a partial part of the seals, when we read it in one sitting with the totality and the preponderance of the evidence, it reads as one congruent ongoing celestial event. It is the stars falling from the skies like figs when they're ripe and being fallen. It's a great mountain of fire being cast down into the sea, right? And creating all kinds of different tectonic shift and earthquakes in various places. And the global volcanism responses that come from that, a third of the fish of the sea dying, a third of the ships dying, a third of the grass being burned up, a third of the trees being burned up, the waters being turned wormwood are being poisoned from the different aspects of what these celestial impacts can wreak on a continent. And it goes on and on and on systematically through this radical, cataclysmic, otherworldly or extraterrestrial, right, beyond earth, astral catastrophism from a celestial body. And remember what the Lord says, Tony, he says that he will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens and the earth in that day. You know, and it says that men's hearts will fail them for fear of what they see coming upon the earth. And it talks about men being perplexed at the roaring and the fomenting of the seas. We have in Isaiah where it talks about the earth being struck and staggering like a drunkard, literally wobbling on its axis. It talks about how it's going to stagger like a drunkard when it is impacted in this way. So then when we can look at it from the earth sciences perspectives, and even this pseudo preparation globally from the global elite to include the depopulation agenda, when we look at it from the greater narrative of astrocatastrophism, you start to understand why they have this incessant push for depopulation, why they have no regard for money and the expenditures of money, why they have no regard for hardcore economics, why there's food processing plants all around the world being burned down or exploded at the same time as they're culling hundreds of millions of cattle and chickens and sheep and everything you can imagine, at the same time as they're repatriating normal saline solution and medical supplies. And we're going, where is all this going? Where is the millions and millions of slaughtered animals going? What is up with the seed vault that they shut the doors on, that they were preparing for 10 years, filling the seed vault with all these seeds in case of a cataclysmic event? What is going on with all the governments of the world with their space-based weapons platforms and their directed energy weapons? What do they know is coming that they will not allow the general populace to know, but at the same time, what they're willing to go to great lengths to depopulate the earth as much as possible before the event happens? So it's all correlated, I guess, to say the least.
What about the underground bases? Is that why we have so many, it seems, underground, and I'm sure there's a lot that are not publicly disclosed as well, and are the elite preparing themselves to run underground?
Yeah, unequivocally, and again, I go biblical worldview. I said, okay, DUMS, right? We call them DUMS, deep underground military bases. So we know of DUMS. There's all kinds of whistleblowers about DUMS. There's been different architects and very uniquely gifted people, whether they're mechanical engineers or electrical engineers, that have worked in these DUMS, that have told us what's going on. There's high-speed underground rails connecting the different continents together. There's all kinds of things going on under the earth that would rock our socks off if we actually knew and understood the depths of it. And I go, okay, is there biblical context for deep underground military bases? And I go, well, actually there is. We're told unequivocally in scripture that the great men of the earth, that sounds like the elite, right? The great men of the earth, the kings and the generals and so on, will hide themselves in the rocks of the earth from the great and terrible day of the wrath of the Lord. So we're even told that that's exactly what they're going to do, is try to hide themselves in the earth. And then that gets into, you know, without breaking open a whole new can of worms, but the hollow earth doctrine or hollow earth theory or hypothesis, which I subscribe to because, again, biblically it's affirmed. You know, when we're told that every knee will bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth, we're told that the rebel angels are reserved in chains inside the earth. We're told that a key is given to an angel that's cast down to the bottomless pit, and he releases these tormenting things out from inside of the earth to go about tormenting the people of the earth for 5 months. And the king over them, his name is Abaddon or Apollyon, the great destroyer, right? The resurrection of Apollos or Apollyon or Osiris or Nimrod or Horus. Choose your etymology of the name. So again, there is these mega movements that are going on in real time that I believe they've been in preparation for since the early 80s. From the data that I've looked at from NASA and other different space agencies globally, European Space Agency, from the predictive programming out of Hollywood and other implementations and laws that have been passed and cryptic preparations, they've been going on since the early 80s. And it's at that time that I believe that they locked on mathematically and through our deep space satellites to these, the space body that they know is imminently coming this way. And so everything from the late 80s up to this point in time has been about a practical preparation for this impending event.
So is this Planet X, or what people are calling Planet X? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there's a mix, you know, there's a mix when it comes to the astronomy of it, you know, and the astronomical data that's going out. You have people that reference Nibiru, our Planet X, our Gabriel's Fist. There's an asteroid that comes by in 2021 that's going to be pretty significant, that there's a lot of things going on. But the big one that is affirmed by international communities and amateur astronomers. Here's the thing. I know there's so much muddying of the water by the truther movement out there that they won't even acknowledge anything coming out of NASA, which is a very vain thing to do, to not acknowledge any data that comes out of there. You know, they, from faking the moon landing to flat Earth to everything in between, they dismiss any actual empirical data coming out. But the one thing that is solidified is this nearing of the asteroid Apophis. So Apophis is the central theme of what I believe with informed, this is informed speculation, right?
How do you spell that asteroid?
Apophis is Apophis. And guess what? It is an ancient Egyptian deity of death and destruction and the destroyer of worlds and a new age, a new order of the ages. That's what Apophis represents. Right. So, and of course, it's an ancient Egyptian deity, which we know all the Egyptological overtones of everything from Genesis to Revelation is always covered in the pantheon of the rebels of the spirit of the Egyptian spirit that permeates everything, including our current modern infrastructure of Washington, D.C. is centered around Egyptological mystery school worship. So. Yeah, so that's the big thing, is this asteroid Apophis, which they have locked onto and is going to be visible in the sky in 2025 with a passing of its debris tail in approximately 2029. This is just their mathematical data. And what they're anticipating is not a direct impact from Apophis. Nowhere in scripture is there an earth-ending impact. That's a huge thing that Hollywood and sensationalists have propped up. Nowhere in the Bible is there an earth-ending impact. However, there is massive celestial events with radically significant one-third of the world's population killing astronomical events that do occur. And so what's interesting with this asteroid Apophis is that from the scientists, is they say that as this thing comes by, they have debris trails, right? These meteors have debris trails that are millions of miles long. We can't even comprehend of it. And millions of miles wide and even hundreds of millions of miles long. And as the Earth is rotating on its axis and it goes through the debris trail of a near-Earth object like an asteroid or a meteoroid, they're very particular different space bodies. But as we go through the space debris trail of these larger space bodies, it's like getting hit with birdshot from a shotgun. And from their data and their modeling, they say approximately, this is so awesome, the wisdom of God to always affirm things, is that they say one third of the Earth, whatever section, whatever one third of the Earth happened to be rotating at that particular time as it comes by, goes through the debris trail and is peppered with birdshot, with potentially thousands of smaller meteoroid impacts on the Earth. And they say with it comes firestorms, tectonic plate and crustal displacement of the ship of the crustal plates. So mega quakes that the world's never seen all over the place, and tsunamis and a changing of the hydro conveyor of the oceans and a changing of the jet streams. And also what would be called, you know, like a nuclear winter type of event where it throws all kinds of debris into the air. So then it's, they say that it will cause widespread famine, unfathomable famine. And also with every near Earth body that has been experienced in modern history and documented, there is an outbreak of pestilence or plague because with it comes microbes or bacteria that are impacting the Earth and being thrown into the low Earth orbit or stratosphere or mesosphere aspect of the Earth that creates new diseases or sickness that the world has not yet seen. So again, when you look at it just straight up from the data and straight up from the word and straight up from what they're saying, and even look at it subjectively by the moves that are being made, you go, oh my goodness, there is some validation to what they are all getting ready for.
What about directed energy weapons? What are the purpose of those? Are they intending to try and shoot something down with them? Asteroids or meteors or what? Or is it just for space warfare? What are your thoughts on them?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, there's always going to be multiple layers to what they roll out and when they do and why they do it. So you do have the basics of what would be like anti-satellite warfare going on with the directed energy weapons. I've actually personally talked to three different people that are actively working on directed energy weapons, or they're responsible for the employment of them. So they're not conspiracy theory based at all. They're totally objective. There's entire things that are based around directed energy weapons. So you have the basics of just geopolitical, geostrategic application. But then there is the component, especially with the rollout of Space Force and the different moves and the budgeting that is being required, that it is, there is an unspoken presumption that these are going to be used for extraterrestrial defense, or I guess I should say terrestrial defense from an extraterrestrial platform. Most people are familiar with the DART mission that occurred earlier. Was it earlier this year? Sorry, I don't have my notes in front of me right now. But they did the DART mission in which they slammed that satellite into an asteroid to see if they could misdirect it off Earth. So that just happened recently. And not only that, but they're talking about being able to deploy nuclear weapons, just like the movie Armageddon. Again, the predictive program in Hollywood through the CIA. Just like the movie Armageddon, to be able to land on the meteorite itself, bore into it, and put nuclear weapons on it to either try to break it apart or to push it off course. It just so happens that they just released the most radical predicted programming movie that I've seen in a long time, Greenland, Gerard Butler, where that's exactly what they did. The governments of the world all knew this space body was incoming. They all made their preparations. They will not tell any of the civilian populace until it can be visible in the sky. Then they slowly release little data without creating fear and panic. Because as soon as the general populace goes into fear and panic, they've lost control. And again, that gets into one of the major reasons for the depopulation agenda, this insatiable pursuit of sterilization and depopulation and abortion and LGBT. Even LGBT isn't organic. It has very little to do with sexual perversity. It has to do with sexual reproduction. From every angle, they are trying to reduce the amount of chaos and people that they have to deal with as quickly as they possibly can. Insert World War III. They must have it. They absolutely must have it. And they're all in agreement, tit for tat, limited nuclear exchange for an instantaneous global population reduction and a centralization of global governance for what they know is coming in a few short years. That's one of the key components. They have done these recent events in New York City, of course, of all places. Just recently, I believe it was in 2020, where they had a think tank group of people come together to work out the details of what would happen of an East Coast meteorite impact and how do they adequately respond? What resources do they need, right? This is these federal agencies do these simulations all the time. And their findings of these simulations, Tony, here was their official findings. This is what they reduced it to after a five-day simulation with the greatest minds and emergency planners on the Earth. They said, there's nothing you could do to plan for that scale. The human populace chaos is the greater threat than the asteroid. So because the human populace chaos is a greater threat than the asteroid, they need a centralized global government to handle information regarding the asteroid. That was their number one finding.
That is interesting because it all plays into the whole move for globalism, which we know, one world government, one world order, new world order, whatever you want to call it, and which the Bible obviously shows us is what's going to happen under an antichrist. So you do wonder whether this is all playing into that whole narrative and the time is short.
Yeah, it really is, you know, and again, even that comes circles back around to the even what you guys are experiencing down there with your cyclone and their calls for stirring up the people with a collective fear-based response, a globally shared collective consciousness, a counterfeit hive mind based on fear of the impending effects of global warming. And even that is designed to reduce population and consolidate control. It's all about consolidation, consolidation, consolidation. So they get both out of it. And the other layer to the global warming constant drumbeat mantra is that it's a nullification of the judgment of God. So if they can blame it on humanity rather than anybody ever repenting to the Lord or crying out to God or crying out for the forgiveness of sins of humanity and the nations of the world, they attribute it to man so that they use it as an excuse to make greater war against man. I mean, this is what the Luciferian elite do. So it's even a cover story for the judgments of God that they know are coming. It says the way of the Lord is in the whirlwind, in the storm. You know, it talks about lightning goes out from him. Like he is in the storm. He is in the whirlwind. He's in the tornadoes. He's in the hurricanes themselves. He's in the cyclones. If you're below the equator, like you guys are in the Southern hemisphere, it's like it is the Lord. And we know that they try to manipulate the things of the Lord through HAARP and their antenna forms and their directed energy weapons and their ability to geoengineer weather. We know that everything they try to counterfeit, manipulate what God's doing. But at the end of the day, biblically it says, can calamity come upon a nation unless the Lord has decreed it? That's facetious. The answer is no. The Lord's saying, absolutely not. I am sovereign. They do not outrule my control over creation, including weather and weather patterns and all these kinds of things. And so it's the Lord who does these things. It's the Lord who's ramping things up. It's the Lord who's allowing space for the powers of darkness to have their last great, you know, offense against humanity. Nothing is out of order, but everything is being skewed and perverted and distorted and manipulated and convoluted by the global elite to justify their extermination of humanity and to prepare for what they know is going to be war with King Jesus. So that's the other component of the directed energy weapons I didn't touch on, but there have been whistleblowers come out of those fields of study that have said that the true elite, not the nominal, you know, military or intelligence community-based people or scientists, but the true elite say that they are building outer space and near Earth orbit with this fervor, even bringing in the secular world and the corporate world, like Starlink and all these other guys, Elon Musk, and they're putting as much in space as possible. This is what the whistleblowers have said, because they know that Christ is coming and they actually believe that they can defeat him. So it says that they gather all the kings of the earth and the great men of the earth to the Valley of Megiddo and they raise their weapons skyward. They know where the fight's coming from and they know who's leading the fight. And in their Luciferian hubristic nature, they actually believe they can win. So that's a whole nother component to the rampant, massive development of off-Earth stuff, off-Earth bases, directed energy weapons, Space Force, all these kinds of things. So it's the twofold conundrum of the astro catastrophism and their hatred of King Jesus at all cost.
Yeah, I had Tim Alberino on the show several years ago, and he touched on that very subject, which was a really interesting interview. I was also
Tim's the one who I do expeditions with for the Antediluvian, archaeology and research. It's Tim and I and Gary Haven and a team of guys going out and doing stuff. So
yeah, that sounds great. I must try and get a hold of Tim again and get him back on the show if possible too. So I was listening to you and thinking of a scripture in Revelation. I don't remember exactly where it was, but basically that they didn't repent, but they cursed God when all these things were going on. You'd think that people's hearts would see these end time signs seen in the book of Revelation and repent, but they go the opposite way. They harden their hearts and become angry at God.
Yeah, absolutely. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2, because they love not the truth, God gives them over to a strong delusion that they might believe a lie because they took pleasure in unrighteousness. And so it's like, it's not that they don't know the truth, they just don't love it. Same with Romans 1, it's knowing God, they neither glorified him nor gave him thanks, but became darkened by the hardness of the heart. So God gives them over, right? So they know God, they just don't want to give him thanks or glorify him. And it's the same thing at the end of the age. Notice it's very particular language that they absolutely, unequivocally know the source of the judgments is God himself. And they shake their fist at God. At that point, they no longer are blaming any. The two witnesses have been on the scene. There's people prophesying. There's people proclaiming the gospel. There's the angel that's loose to carry the gospel around the earth one more time. There's all kinds of things going on that they all the pretext of global warming and all these other, this soft disclosure and this counterfeit alien invasion stuff and Project Bluebeam and all these different things that are going on is they no longer can associate that anymore. They unequivocally know that it's God himself that is judging humanity actually from love and mercy. One last opportunity to reveal to them that he is who he said he is. Therefore, his son is who he says he is. Therefore, the forgiveness and salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, is what he said it is. But no matter what, they will never repent. And so actually, it's the last great crescendo of the Lord proving before the heavenly host, because it talks all the time about he's gonna point at us from everlasting to everlasting as an example of his grace. He's always reproving things to his heavenly host that, see, I'm just. And what I'm getting ready to do next, I'm just. Because no matter what, their hearts are so hardened, they're so depraved, they so love the world and the things of the world, that no matter what I reveal to them, I will shake the earth, not only the earth, but also the heavens and the powers of heavens, so that they'll have no excuse to turn towards me, acknowledge me for who I am. And no matter what I do, they will never repent. They choose hell. They choose separation. They choose to be sons of disobedient and heirs of wrath rather than sons of the Most High and heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. And so he's like, I'm telling you, I am just and I am good in all of my ways. And all of my just judgments are perfectly righteous. I'll prove it to you.
I suppose it isn't really all that strange, because when you look at the those that crucified Jesus when he was here on the earth, the elites of the day, the Pharisees and so on, they saw the miracles he did. They saw all the things that Jesus did that no one else had ever done before, and that didn't repent. Instead, they hated him and they tried to stamp him out by crucifying him, of course, not realizing that really that was our greatest victory for salvation. But the point is that it didn't matter what Jesus did. They hated him and they tried to kill him then. So the same spirit will be alive and well when he returns us to the earth again.
Yeah, absolutely. And notice, even when the Antichrist comes on the scene is it's with his lying signs and wonders. So his counterfeit or deceptive or technologically manipulated signs and wonders that they choose to marvel after him. It's his counterfeit resurrection, right? Receives a mortal wound from which he's miraculously healed that they put their hope in him. It's counterfeit immortality through the transhumanism movement and CRISPR-Cas9 and genetic upgrades, mRNA, you know, you name it. And they put their hope in that. So they just will never, ever bow their knee to Christ Jesus. They will choose the lie rather than the truth because they are lovers of self. They are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And ultimately, they are haters of God. They will never bow their knee to him. But they will bow their knee and they will give their allegiance to the Antichrist and the entire governmental ruling system that he brings in place, rather than the true and better ruling system filled with righteousness and goodness and justice and truth of the kingdom of the Most High God.
Yes, true. Just briefly, you know, what are your thoughts then on the Nephilim and the, well, the potential today for there to be not just straight humans, you know, basically hybrids or whatever on the earth today? Do you believe that's the case?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that that's a part of the terraforming, for lack of a better word, of the Great Deception will be the return or the resurrection or the regeneration, choose your word, or the Lord allowing it to happen of the men of old, of the men of renown. And whether it's a resurrected Nimrod, that's where I lean from the research, is that even the Antichrist himself is not going to be fully human when you look at all the scriptures in their totality regarding the attributes of the Antichrist. He does not appear to be fully human, just even by the way the world marvels after him and certain things that he conducts himself in. And this gets into why the ancient aliens narrative, why panspermia, why the pictographs and the hieroglyphs and the geoglyphs and the megaliths and all these things all over the world, along with the recent soft disclosure from our different intelligence agencies. They're going to use the old, the antiquity and the historicity of the world, along with the new revelations of emerging technologies. And under the guise of even a new religion, which Pope Francis has made unequivocally clear that he undergirds, that the men of old, these guys, quote unquote, these guys are back to usher us into a new eon, to an Aquarian age, because of all the chaos that has just been wrought on the earth. So the chaos of global warming, the chaos of a World War III, the chaos of massive die-offs. We all know why everybody's massively dying off. The chaos of governments, and what they will talk about is the chaos and the divisions created by religions. And they'll say, we are here to help guide you, self-directed evolutionary process, into the next degree of evolution of the species through transhumanism to be like gods. So yes, it's absolutely coming down.
Yeah, I think about people like Klaus Schwab and Harari when you mention that. But just sort of changing focus a little bit so we can see all of this going on. But as Christians facing all of this, you know, what's our answer? What do we do? I mean, because it can be just so overwhelming, you know, all the information and all the potential things that are coming upon the earth in the future, or already beginning, and it certainly has all ramped up big time since 2019, which we won't go into, but, you know, what do we do as Christians?
Yeah, that's actually my number one burden, is the answer to the question, what do we do now? So what do we do now? And even that's what the book the Lord burdened me to write, Omega Dynamics, Equipping a Warrior Class of Christians for the Days Ahead, is centered on, is that the so what now is that we must have an identity that is so deeply rooted in the streams of living water of Christ Jesus that nothing, absolutely nothing, will shake us to our core. We have to have an identity in Christ that is so uniquely solidified, that has fully counted the cost of being all in for Christ, because is it going to cost you everything? We have so fully and adequately counted the cost, because we know and understand the reward, the hope of glory, the resurrection, the heir and co-heirship with Christ Jesus himself, a seat at the right hand of Christ Jesus, just as he overcame and sat at the right hand of the Father, so to you who overcome will sit at the right hand of Christ. Such a knowing of our God that none of these things would shake us. Actually, such a knowing of our God that we would be the prophetic fulfillment of Daniel 11:32, that those who do know their God will be strong and go forth and do daring feats of valor in that exact same time. A knowing of our God, like Daniel 12 says, that those who are wise in the Lord, a time the likes of which never has been and never will be again, that those who are wise in the Lord will turn many back to righteousness, and they will shine like bright shining stars in the vast expanse of the universe. As such a knowing of our God that it says that we are among those who do overcome. We are not overcome by these things. We actually overcome these things because the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we do not love our lives so much as we're afraid to lose it. When you know your life is hidden in Christ, when you know that death has lost its sting and it's been swallowed up, and the enemy has been a vanquished foe, disarmed, being triumphed over at the cross of Christ Jesus, when you know that you are hidden in Christ and you have a living hope that you've been built into, and you have an inheritance in heaven that's kept for you, spotless, unspoiled, and unfading. And God has said himself, the God of all creation, the God over all these rebel elites, said, I will guard you home to your reward by my power. When you know that, none of this information should ever shake you. Not the aliens, not the disclosure, not the deceptions, not the mRNAs, not the transhumanism, and not the asteroid catastrophism, not the supply chain collapse, and not the economic collapses, not the wars and the rumors of wars, and not the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria or anywhere else. None of it should shake you. Luke 21, Jesus says this plainly. When you begin to see all these things taking place, stand up and look up, because your redemption draws nigh. He didn't say, hide yourself in your prayer closet. He didn't say, run and freak out and scream and be like Chicken Little. He didn't say, throw all your money at preparedness items that you have no clue how to use. He didn't say any of that. He said, look up and stand up, because your redemption draws nigh. And so that's why it's so critical that in light of this information, we do business with our King who loves us and who bought us. This is why it's so critical that in light of this information, if there is any sin issues or unclean things hidden in your camp, like the sin of Achan in Joshua 7, that you remove them and purify your camp. Because the Lord says you cannot stand on the day of battle if you have unclean things hidden in your life. He says you've been made liable for destruction on the field of battle. So in light of this information, we should be so radiant, so active, so intentional, so love-filled, so in the pursuit of the souls of men for the glory of God. We should be living harder and better and with more authenticity and resiliency than anyone else, because we know that there's nothing in this world for us. There's nothing that this world will satisfy, but we have a true and better home in the kingdom of God, and he's coming soon to take us home to that kingdom.
Yeah, well, that's a very good way to, you know, basically encourage people to think hard about our lives and really weigh up everything. So as we close, Jamie, can you tell the listeners where they find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. They can contact or support us at omegadynamics.org. That's omegadynamics.org. And also our other website is calicobuffalobasecamp.com. That's calicobuffalobasecamp.com. And they can find the book and the companion guide that goes with the book, Omega Dynamics, on Amazon. Unfortunately, no Christian publisher would touch it. So I had to self-publish on Amazon. So it's available there for anybody who'd like to purchase it.
Well, thank you, Jamie. That's been a fascinating discussion, and based on that, I'll have to organize with you that we book another one because it's been
great.
Yeah,
man, for sure. Yeah, there's always so much ground to cover right now, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So thank you.
Yeah, Tony, thanks for having me on, and just for all you listeners that may come across this, I just pray that you would grow your roots down deep in the stream of living water. No one whose hope is in Christ will ever be disappointed. And we will never be disappointed either. We've been given a good mission set in this generation. We've been foreknown for this generation. We've been given all spiritual gifts through Christ Jesus. We've been given everything we need to trample upon the lion and the serpent and the scorpion and over all the powers of darkness. And we have been assured that there is nothing, not even Apophis, that can separate you from the love of God that has been already past tense shown to you in Jesus Christ. So never forget that. Never forget that as the days grow dark. We've been told to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. The darkness is over the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. The glory of the Lord has arisen upon us. And I believe it. And I'm going to walk in that because I once was blind and now I can see. I know the love of my God. And I'm going to move and operate out from that love.
Excellent. Yep, that's true. That's very good. So thank you, Jamie. I'm very pleased that we had you on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, brother. I look forward to the next time.
Folks, remember also aminutetomidnight.com. Please subscribe to us down the right-hand side of the page. Subscribe to our blog there, aminutetomidnight.com. A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. And really need your help to keep this running. Please consider maybe helping us if you do. And thank you to the folks that have been donating to us. It's always greatly appreciated. And the music used in the shows I've written, played, and recorded. And if anyone wants to download some of my free instrumental music, you can also find that at aminutetomidnight.com. Well, that's about it for this episode, and God willing, we'll be back with another one in a few days' time. So take care and keep your eyes on the Lord, and we'll see you again soon.